if you approach everything as, okay, what's the lesson? What's the opportunity? What's the adventure? It's going to be fun. Even if it's the most grueling, I was trying to think of something I did this week and it's like, God, could this get any more boring? And it really couldn't. But it was like, okay, the fun part will be.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio. Join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And as always, it's my honor and pleasure to be with you here on another brand new episode. And oh, my goodness, maybe you can hear my voice. I got a little schnozzle going on here. So I feel okay. It's just kind of stuck in my nose. So apologies in advance for this. But I had had this plan for quite a while, and I really think it's an important topic. So I have my dear, dear friend, Lori Lawson, back on. And she is a career and transition coach located in New York City, as also a certified empowerment coach since 2004. And she specializes in coaching leaders and small businesses and individuals in I'll say, transition challenges is why I add her, strategic planning and mission definition, as well as leadership management. I could go on, but she's just a marvelous person. I've had her on the show before. You guys probably remember. She's one of our sought-after guests. And so, well, thanks for being on the show, Lori.
It is absolutely my pleasure. You're nursing a stuffed nose. I'm nursing I've gone out back. So let's see where we go with this.
Right. Well, let's see. How do we transition and empower this? Okay.
Well, absolutely.
I wanted to have you on because I can't believe we're at almost the end of January right now. And I don't know about most of my audience, I know about me. I'm not where I wanted to be. And it's sort of, I feel like the clock is ticking for so many reasons. One is, I cannot believe, but we're in the fourth year of, you know, I always post-pandemic PP. And I had saved up so many things on my to-do list that I'm almost feeling overwhelmed by this to-do list that I'd saved up during this whole time of like, well, I can't do that right now. I'll do it. Anyway, I'm just feeling like I'm stuck. So I decided to call you, Lori, and find out what do we do when we're kind of feeling overwhelmed and stuck. Oh, and by the way, I should tell you, I don't normally do this, but it came up in my Apple News today. It was like your horoscope today. And I thought, oh, okay, well, what the heck? I was waiting for Lori to come on the Zoom and all that. So I looked it up and, you know, it was just a couple of words. You know what it said? I've never had a horoscope like this at all. It said, you need a break. I was like,
well, you should have canceled the show and done it.
I'm like, oh, wow. Okay, I got to tell my friend Lori that because I was like, a horoscope. I mean, you know, just like, you need a break. Well, oh, wow. Okay, 4 words. Wow.
Well, maybe it means a mental break because give yourself a break, you know, all kinds of fun things with you need a break. I would definitely take advantage of it if I were you. Definitely. No, I think that's a normal feeling because you're right. It's people are just rushing to get back to normal, whatever that is or was. And I use the example of the week between Christmas and New Year's. I did 2 Broadway shows and they were weird shows. They were like matinees on Tuesdays and Thursdays, which never happened. It's Wednesday and Saturday, you know, and it was jam-packed Times Square. And I'm going, what is wrong with these people? And I said, I guess it's because they haven't been able to go to the theater, and now here they are. So I think you're in a very normal tendency. It's like, oh my God, my to-do list. But what you can do is use the wisdom of the last 3-4 years and then how important is this? And, you know, make up, is there an urgent list? Is there a, when I get to it list? Is there a totally get rid of list? I think you have to weed it out. And I feel was one of the blessings of the pandemic, because it really made you see, you know, I don't have to do this every day because I can't. So, but instead I will do this. So I think it's a matter of prioritizing and also reevaluating your values. And it's like, how important is this? You know, how much does need to get done by the end of January? Who says that January is the go month? For me, I don't feel it going right now. So I'm just going to hang in there. But, you know, to challenge some of your assumptions and interpretations and say, wow, you know, maybe I can go there. Well, there are no rules to break because there are no rules. It's like, you know, the rules change and it's kind of like make your own. So go for it. Give yourself a break and make some rules, make some new rules.
It's funny that you bring that up. I was reading about rules today and this morning, also in that same feed, not the one about the horoscope, but anyway. And it got me to thinking about all these arbitrary rules we place on ourselves. It was about rules for diets, and it was going through these different types of diets and saying the pros and cons of the diets. And then it ended in basically, look, there are no rules. We all know how to eat well. All know that we should be exercising. We all know this, we all know that. And I was thinking, you know, that's so true about so many things, that what works for me, because they were saying like this diet works for some people, but it doesn't work for other people. And I was thinking, what works for me doesn't work for a lot of other people. And that's where I like this idea that you're like, well, make your own rules. It's like, I think we all do know at some level what works best for each of us. We're so individualized.
But I think we're also trained to, doctors know everything. And so we got to listen. And if we don't, then blame the victim, because it's like, you're going to pay the penalty. And so we go, okay, I'm going to, and I've spent the whole year to 2022 listening to doctors. And it's like, by the end of the year, it was like, am I dying? What is going on here? Because I'm tired of this foolishness. But yeah, I think you say you think we all know, but do we have the courage to act on it? That's the difference, you know? And I'm not.
Oh, good point.
Yeah, I'm not sure we do. I think it's like, ooh, what the doctor said. So it's like, okay, we got to do it. I'm still questioning. My doctor, I'm all boosted. I'm boosted to die. I got all kinds of booster that's out there. I got it. But my doctor had given me 3 different things. It's like, I thought I already did that. Oh, no, they have boosters now. It's like, yeah, okay. So go get some more vaccines. So I'm on my way to the pharmacy and I go, do I want to put more stuff in my body right now? And it's like, no, I really don't. So I decided, no, I'm going to wait for a while on that. I've got enough stuff floating around and see what happens. But it's like, I was blindly doing that until I went, wait a minute. No, I don't think I need that right now. So I courageously canceled the appointment and said, never mind. But I think first you have to be aware, and then you have to go, okay, I'm going to go with what my body's telling me, because who knows my body better than my body? So, but it's the courage that's the killer.
Yeah, absolutely. And I always suggest finding a medical team that honors that part of you, mm-hmm. of not knowing, because my medical team has found out, I had been telling them for a long time, they finally now believe it, that I don't need the average dose of stuff. You can, they say, oh, we're going to mouse dose you on this, Sharon, you know, because they found out that I end up sicker than a dog if you give me what's supposedly for a full grown female, that, you know, somehow my body doesn't metabolize it correctly. And so part of me says, yes, your own courage, but finding courageous people, health professionals that are willing to listen. That when you say, hey, you know, last time we took that at the average size, age, female dose, you know, remember I got so sick, I was throwing up my guts kind of thing. And finding health professionals that are equally courageous, that they'll listen to you and not gaslight you.
Yes, very difficult to do. And I'm not even sure how you go about searching for that. It's like, it's kind of like you test and you go, okay, well, then put this out here and see if they don't.
I call it guess and test.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I like that. Guess and test. Exactly. It's like a whole, because I chose one of my doctors because supposedly she was in alternative medicine. She really wasn't. But it was like, okay, that sounds good. But it was mostly here, take this pill. Here, I'm going to get prescribed this. And it was like, what happened to the alternative part? But, you know, you again, guess and test. You can only, you do the best you can, you know. But I think you need a clear viewpoint of, one, your values and what you need for your body. And then it makes the guessing and the testing a little easier. If you go in blind and go, I hope this works out. It might not if you don't have some clear boundaries, you know, like, no, I'm not taking full prescriptions. I can't, you know, but I think first you have to get clear with one, what problems are you having and what is your body telling you about it, you know, and then go in and start guessing and testing.
Oh, and what is our body telling us is sometimes really hard when you're feeling crummy to begin with, to sort it all out.
Absolutely.
I found journaling helps. I keep thinking, oh, I'll remember. And I don't want to sound like it's morbid or something, but I do keep a list of things that I think are significant that have happened. If I woke up with, you know, a really bad headache that day, I write it down because I want my health professionals to see if it's a pattern or is it a one-off type of thing, because I think I'll remember. And you say, well, Sharon, don't write it down until it's a pattern, but I got to write it down to see the pattern, because I think I'll remember. I'll go, okay, I do remember I had that bad headache, but was that like a week ago or was that like 3 weeks ago? And lo and behold, I've lost all track of time during this pandemic, and I'll look it up and I'll be like, oh no, Sharon, that was like 2.5 months ago. I'm like,
hardly a pattern.
So I find writing it down and journaling in one specific place in a notebook has been helpful for me, because otherwise I really wouldn't begin to see these patterns and remember. That's how I figured out, like, well, maybe I don't need the full dose.
Oh.
You know, maybe my body isn't metabolizing it like other people's bodies are. And that was the only reason I figured that pattern out, was through going back and realizing, oh, I see this pattern here.
Yeah, I love that idea. I think right now I'm in the process, because I've been doing testing, and I came into 2023 going, well, all my major organs have been tested out and I'm doing cool. So I woke up with a sty. I went, oh, I didn't have that tested in my eyes. Say, but okay, my organs are good. I know that. But each one leads to another test. Well, we better check this out. And it's like, and that was at the end of the year. It's like, what is going on? I got to stop testing here. But as a result, I'm now writing down my blood pressure at different times of the day. And it's like, because you go, oh, I'll remember that. And you're right. It could be age. It could just be 5,000 things else that we're doing, but you don't remember. So stop telling yourself you do and just write it down and keep a little log. It's not depressing. Consider it feedback. It's information. You need this information. That's going to help you get wherever you're going. So yeah.
Absolutely.
Journaling. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not really that kind of, what I'll put in air quotes, sexy journaling, where, you know, like your fantasies and all of that. Guys, I understand that. Keep a different journal for that.
Write in a red pen, whatever.
Yeah. But I do think it's important, because I don't know if it's age. A lot of that information I file away thinking I'll remember it. But so many things are happening. I mean, I think we're all busy wanting to, as you said, get back out there into the real world and do all sorts of things. And my to-do list is pretty long, as I mentioned at the beginning. I think I'm going to have to sit down this tonight. I was so just sort of sort through that paperwork too and start crossing things off. Like, okay, if it's been on my list, what, 6 months, I should just cross it off. Like, okay, the idea of getting that done, just.
Yeah, that's a good rule of thumb. I'd make a few exceptions because I did that with a stress test for about 18 months. And finally, I said, all right, just take it now. But because I kept putting it off and putting it off, I did not want to take that stress test. But yeah, and was it necessary? I don't know. But yeah, because now we're checking my blood pressure. But yeah, that's probably, if it was on there, definitely pre-pandemic, you can check it off. You made it. Whatever it was, you're fine. So yeah, that's one way to weed it out. I think another is to review, be aware of the signs that your body's giving you, you know. And I know you are very aware, thus the reason for this, your lovely broadcast that helps so many people. But it's like, just your body, my philosophy is if your mind isn't smart enough to slow you down, your body's going to do it for you. So if you can, try to analyze what's going on. Like my mother almost went blind until we discovered that she was diabetic. And then she corrected the whole thing by healthy diet. And I don't think she ever took medication for it. And her eyesight came back and all of that. And so lately I've been going, God, why is this writing so small? And it's like, and I'm getting ready to ask the people I work for, could you enlarge that print? And I'm going, well, this is really silly. And I have glasses, so I can't blame it on that. And I went, you know, you have really not stopped hitting the Christmas candy and the Thanksgiving goodies. And it's like, I think you might be messing up your own. So I'm doing my own experiment right now. And I went to my eye doctor. He said, your eyes haven't changed that much. So I said, okay. So I'm doing my own experiment now. Finally, I mean, I could have listened so much earlier. But and it's like, I'm not going to do sweets anymore for a while and see if my eyes improve. If they don't, okay, something else is wrong. But listen to your body, will tell you. It's, you just got to be receptive, you know, and listen to it.
Oh, absolutely. And it'll keep knocking until you say yes. Who's there?
What do you want already?
Yeah, it will. Oh my goodness. And the one other thing I was reading yesterday and I found it an interesting word, and I wrote it down because I wanted to do it. I always put up things on post-it notes and put them in places if it's important to me. It was just two words. And I think it fits here too, because it says be intentional. And it was this really interesting, one of those things where, you know, your New Year's resolutions type of articles. And I was kind of thinking about, well, what can I talk to Lori about? And when I came across the words be intentional, I said, that's it. You can have all the best intentions of the world, but until you be intentional, until you put it into action, well, what good is it? And I think that's sort of like my to-do list. Those are all the best intentions in the world to get to all of those things. But until, like you said, to prioritize them and really organize them, I'm not doing anything. I'm not be intentional. I'm not being intentional.
You have good intents. What is that? The road to heaven or hell is paved with good intentions, but you just don't get there. I love that. It's a coachy thing. I don't know if you do it every year. It's a coachy thing to pick out your word for the year, you know, and how's it going to get you through? So I think yours is intentional. You could just apply that to everything. It's like, am I being intentional or am I making plans? What am I doing? You know? And I think that's a great thing to be. I was trying to think of mine, and mine was like awareness. It's like, I want to be aware of what I'm doing, but I like yours better because it takes it a step further. It's like, okay, now I'm aware. Now, what am I going to do with this? What is my intention with this awareness or this problem or this solution, you know? So, and I like that word. I like that word. Mine for the year is peace. And that was going to be, adventure or thriving. And it's like, I don't have the energy to do that. I want a quiet word this year and I want peace. It's like, who is going to bring me peace in my life? What's going to bring me peace? Who am I going to give peace to? So it's just, and it's just when I find myself getting like really tight and antsy, I want to say the word peace and just slow it down a little. And when you feel stuck, you should go intention. What is my intention? How can I be intentional? You know, when you feel that, you know when something's wrong, and just, you've got your word now, use it. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. It's on my post-it note.
Yeah, there you go.
But you know, when you said the word peace and your description of the ways you can produce peace, and I'm thinking of the word intention and intentional, you know, it brings me back to this place where I've struggled a long time, and that's setting boundaries. I know you work a lot with your empowerment, helping people sort of sort out their strategies and transitions and challenges. What are some tips you have for people? Because to me, that's really an area of weakness. I don't know if it was being raised female in my generation or whatever it was, but a lot of my first response is, sure, I can.
Oh, yeah.
I can. And really, when I think about it in hindsight, I'm like, Sharon, you really don't have the bandwidth for that for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm. No is not a dirty word. And it could be your best friend. Actually, I think there's a couple of tricks that I tell my clients. And one is treat yourself like you would treat your client. You know, because we are so careful about nurturing our clients and not stepping on boundaries and challenging them and helping them get where they want to go. And to the extent that we don't do it for ourselves, we do it for everybody else. So it's like, treat yourself like you would treat your client. That would be trick number one. Trick number two would be for setting boundaries. It's like, if you, and you do this all day long, if your client has a problem setting boundaries, what would you tell someone you love? What would you tell your sister, your brother, your mother, your father, your lover? What would you tell them? Because we are so good at helping other people solve their problems. But when it comes to us, it's like, yeah, later, we'll get there. But first, we let it go by the wayside. So I think one would be treat yourself like you treat your client. And two, give the advice that you would give to someone you love. It's like, okay, Sharon, do you really need to do that extra class for no profit and no real reason, just to do a friend a favor? Do you need to do that? Is that going to be, how's that going to help you? You know, you have to just stop and go, wait, is this good for me? Is this self-nurturing, or is this draining, self-draining? And how's this going to help me move forward? And if it doesn't, it's kinder to set a boundary and say no than to do something half-heartedly and perhaps ruin a relationship, perhaps ruin your reputation, perhaps just people go, oh, that was pretty lackluster. So you're really doing everybody a favor by going, no, not in my bandwidth, I'm so sorry, or that doesn't work for me right now. Nobody can argue with that. You know, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
Oh, absolutely. I was thinking of, on tangential to that, as you're talking about when I was raising kids, how hard it was to set boundaries with them. Oftentimes it was easier for me, although it was not helpful for my kids. Here, just let me do that. <You know? laughs> I mean, it's sort of like, I'm hitting my wash, like, we gotta go. But in hindsight, I remember how many times where I took a breath and I said, they'll never learn to do it unless you just stop, breathe here, and let them do it. So many times that the boundaries are not just doesn't work for me now, but sometimes they're intruding on other people's sovereignty in my mind, where I'm just like I said, when I was raising my kids, I remember this one time the neighbor had their children washing the car, and then he went out there and got upset and rewashed the car right in front of them. And that was the moment where I went, I just got to let my kids do it. And the car, you know, in my mind wasn't that bad. It was sort of like, just at what moment, Sharon, do you just say it is what it is and let it go?
Great point. Because you don't want to become the boundary police and go, oh, I can't do that because it's outside my boundary. You know, we're all flexible, we're all human, and we all have priorities. But yeah, just a little bit of awareness and just saying, okay, where am I in this scheme of things? You know, in this scheme of things, I want to be a nurturing. I want to have compassion for the people who washed the car and not tell them that wasn't a good job. But there's flexibility. I mean, boundaries are great, and we always tell people you've got to have them. But I really like to say you have to have a sense of a boundary. You don't have to have that iron mesh with the razor blades at the top and nobody can get through. You know, you want to have maybe a white picket fence that you could jump over if you had to, you know, nothing really that, you don't want to be boundary police. That takes all the fun out of everything. But just to have a good self-awareness, sense of, is this good for me? And if not, is it good for someone else? Because I like that you're bringing in other people. Sometimes, yeah, the best thing you can do is say, no, this is probably something you should do yourself. That's a good thing.
Yes. And sometimes it's very expedient when you're a busy. It still is, because I've noticed that even with adult children, it's very easy to say, I can help you with that, or I can do that. And I'm thinking, but are they really learning anything? And I don't mean learning like in a negative way. Are they really learning to balance their own time or whatever that is, if I'm taking that opportunity away from them by jumping in and, I'll put in air quotes, saving them or saving myself the frustration of watching it, whatever it is.
Oh, that is so complicated. Yes, it's just easier to say yes and let it be. But in the long run, it isn't. And it does. It takes a while to build your picket fence, you know, and then it takes a while to do that. And you want to have a gate so you can get in and out. But it takes a while to build that foundation. But when it's easier, you got to remember, if you look at it long term, it's like, okay, well, I've said this and I'm sort of establishing a pattern. You may have to go back and do it again, but at least I have stated that this is my preference and this is how it needs to be done. So in all things in life, it's a balance thing, you know, and you're never really sure where you're going to end up. But I think if you keep your heart pure and your self-survival priority, you'll be good. It'll all work out. Yeah.
And as it's all working out now, time is running out here. We need to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Lori some more about these great strategies for having a successful 2023. We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
If you're worried your friend may be struggling, remember, you don't have to be there to be there.
You can say how while you will get a fake tattoo. You can ask with an app if it works for you. You could chat on a game, kick off your flip-flops. You can ask on your couch while you binge watch.
Whatever gets you talking.
Reach out to a friend about their mental health. Learn how you can help at seizetheawkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com and UnderstandingAutoimmune.com. I hope you guys all go over there and see our, I don't know, we got 400 plus episodes now. And I think we are, wow, Lori, I think you and I are number 300 on Om Times Radio. We didn't start on Om Times, guys, but I'm so glad we landed there. Anyway, so yeah, I think this is number 300. Wow, that's exciting. Oh, so as you guys have been hearing, and Lori's been on the show before, she's a wonderful coach. She works a lot with high functioning, high performance people to get them even to that next step. And one of the things I think I, when I first met Lori, this is what I fell in love with. She loves to have fun, and life is all about how can I find the bestest, if I can use that word. And so, Lori, sometimes, I don't know, I feel like I've been coming out of hibernation and all these other things. And I said, I have this huge to-do list. Curious about what your ideas around are, like, how do we set fun as a goal? How do we make it primary in our life? I know you mentioned peace, and I think peace is part of fun in a way. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, at least it's downtime. So
yes, downtime could be good. I don't know about fun, but it could be relaxing. It could be fun. It depends on you know, how it is. Yeah, well, I have many mottos, but I have a motto. It's like, wherever you go, bring your own sunshine. Don't depend on other people to make you happy. Don't depend on other things to make you happy. Just go with your attitude, like, okay, this is going to be good. This is going to be great. And if it's something that scares you, this is going to be a new adventure. I have a little glass thing with something in written inside it by my door that says adventure. And it's like, yes, every time you open the door, it's an adventure. You don't know who you're going to meet. You don't know if the elevator is going to work. You don't know if it's going to rain while you're out there. It's all an adventure. So I think you just have to adjust your viewpoint. It's like, are you scared? Well, that's an adventure. It's like, how am I going to deal with this? You know, or are you nervous? It's like, okay, what have I learned in the past that can calm me down? If you approach everything as, okay, what's the lesson? What's the opportunity? What's the adventure? It's going to be fun. Even if it's the most grueling, I was trying to think of something I did this week, and it's like, God, could this get any more boring? And it really couldn't. But it was like, okay, the fun part is I get to listen to an audiobook while I'm doing it because it's a no-brainer. It's repetitive. And it was like, okay, well, I was dying to hear this book anyway. So it's like, okay, so I had to push the adventure over here a little bit and combine the two. But it's like, whatever you're doing, just make it, what's the opportunity? Rather than, oh my God, what are the possibilities that something's going to go wrong? Because we all have a tendency to do that. It's like, oh, you know, when I walk out the door, it could really be bad out there. And the person I'm going to the doctor, who knows, you know, what's going to become of that. And rather than that, it's like, whoa, what are the opportunities? What's going to happen today? And just walk around with a sense of curiosity and a sense of adventure. And you got to kind of have a little bit of fun there. You know, the streets of New York were intimidating me for a while because, now don't get me wrong, during pandemic, I loved them. There was nobody on them. But now we're having a few problems up here in New York with crime. And it's like, oh God, what are you going to run into? And it's like, wow, where else would you get to see? And how are you going to deal with it? You know? So it's like, okay, I'm going back out there with a sense of adventure and have a little fun, you know, and then consider that this is a whole big scheme that's derived from my pleasure and my fun. How am I going to enjoy it? It's an attitude adjustment, actually. It's like you can worry about stuff or you can go, wow, what's coming next, you know?
No, absolutely. I sign all my emails, as you know, have a great week, whatever your adventures, because I really want to, I try to approach life as an adventure as well. Even as you were saying, have fun. I'm thinking of those times where I'd get home or somewhere and I just throw my head and back against a chair and go, well, that was fun.
Not sure sarcasm counts, but okay, it's a start.
I think sarcasm counts. There are times when the only thing that works to change my mood is sarcasm, is voicing some sort of irony about that situation or Well, that's a lesson I don't need to repeat. I mean, just sometimes I have to verbalize these little sarcastic comments just to sort of my what that little percolator on your pressure cooker is.
Let out the steam, yes.
Absolutely. And as we're going about having our adventures, I wanted to know, I know you like to plan lots of things and stuff, but putting you on the spot, do you have any adventures planned?
Do I have any adventures planned? I do. I am starting the year out considering it's, and I don't, this sounds like a downer, but it's really not. I really want to be more conscious of my health, which is appropriate for this show. And I want to do a little bit more independent thinking, just like I did with the vaccine and like I'm doing with the experiment with the no sweets for the eye problem. My plan, my really big plans are to become a co-partner with my doctor. And that means that it's equal, and this is very presumptuous, but it's 50-50. I want, you know, my input to be as important as his and her input. And I want to remember that, hey, I'm not just a patient here. I'm, you know, I want to be a participant. And I have a lot of cool information that they don't have about me and my body and how I react and all that stuff. So that's my really big intention for the year. And I'm starting out okay. And Lord knows my body's challenging me and go, okay, now take care of this one too. Why don't you? So I'm keeping me busy, but it's okay. That's what I wanted. That's what I said I wanted. And for fun, I'm just going to, you know, my go-to and my peace and my is the ocean. Put me near an ocean and I can calm down immediately. It all goes into perspective. So I've got
the Soul Sisters here.
Yeah, really? Yeah.
Yeah. The family knows when she's like stressed out. You know, we're only an hour and a half from the coast. They're like, run her to the coast, get her down there.
There's nothing like it. You just sit down in that water and you go, okay, now it's all in perspective. Whatever I was worrying about, small stuff. So I've got a few of those trips planned in between to keep me on balance there. But yeah, I think those are my intentions, to use your word, for the year. And that's a good thing. Now I'm going to have to, am I going to be intentional? Yeah, I'm being intentional. I'm getting there. What are yours?
Oh, I'll tell you mine in a sec. But I first want to comment on the 50-50 with docs, because any medical professional, PT, whatever, I've learned over this experiment in wellness, I do know more than my doctors. And I don't mean that pejoratively, but they know from statistics, like statistically, well, I seem to be an anomaly in a lot of those statistics. And I know best for me. And one of my favorite things that I have said on several occasions, which may sound sarcastic, but it's not. It's an important question. A couple of times they were recommending very invasive, very life-altering changes. And when I heard them, A, I was horrified. B, I was terrified. And C, I'm like, you know, speechless. So what I say in those circumstances are, you know, let's say it's a guy. Would you do this with your wife or your daughter or your whatever, you know, would you do this with your loved one? Would this be something you'd recommend? And one, I have to give him kudos for honesty. He said no. And I said, okay, well, there's your answer. Sometimes they're saying, well, this is the normal course of action. There's nothing normal about every individual. I mean, those are all statistics in my mind. We each react to everything differently. Just since the show started in early 2015, the things that I've discovered is how individualized we are, meaning I'm just a fan of Dr. Stephen Porges, Dr. Bessel van der Kolk, and our dear friend Sarah Payton and the neurobiology of how we respond to things. So a lot of these things that our doctors are not privy to is whatever our past traumas that are playing into us holding our gut too tight or headaches or, you know, they don't know because that's all individualized. What is our lifestyle at home? This one always cracks me up. There, you've got people sitting in the room with you. Not that it's happened to me, but I just thought this is the most crazy question. like, are you feeling safe at home? And then I'm thinking, well, I'm in the room by myself, but I'm thinking, so what if I'm here with a caregiver or, you know, and I am not safe at home? What am I going to say in that moment? I mean, so where I'm going with this is just understanding how individualized we are and speaking up when that comes through our head, the intuition comes to our voice, like, this is a strong no. Just say, what other options are there? You don't have to like shout, no.
Maybe you do sometimes.
Well, maybe sometimes. Maybe sometimes. If that's coming through with your intuition, scream it. But there are other ways to ask it. Like, wow, that seems pretty invasive right now. What other options haven't we tried? Or who else do you suggest that I visit to get a second opinion? Or thank you, but no thanks, and walk out the door. I've said on the show numerous times, I've fired doctors and doctors have fired me, and that's okay. That's fine. I'm not doctor shopping, by the way. That's not what the purpose is. The purpose is like, wow, that is just way too invasive for where I am right now. I don't want to do that right now. It doesn't mean that, hey, Sharon, they may have ended up right in the long run. But me personally, at those times, I wasn't satisfied that that was the right answer. And I think that's where peace comes in. I have to have that moment of peace when the right answer comes. I'm like, oh, yep, that's it. And I can just think, I'm sorry, get on my little high horse here.
I think one, you gave great ways how to approach that, you know, diplomatically and yet, you know, in your own self-interest. And I don't, you said intuitively, I would say follow your instincts. Yeah. I just recently met with a doctor for a colonoscopy, so I'm not going to love him no matter what. But there was mutual hate, and we both had it immediately. And I went, I don't think so. It's not something I want to do anyway. But it's like, and I'm going, oh, you should do this and you should do that. But it was like, nope, I got a feeling that this just is not my guy. So I love that. Instinctives, follow your instincts, follow your intuition. Ask, I like, you know, would you recommend this for your wife? You know, and if he's really honest enough to say no, then you got a good doctor. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. I stayed with him for a while. We worked on others. We came up with other solutions, but that's just the thing. Like a lot of them, they're so pressed for time. They have, I mean, even now everybody's who put off getting care during the pandemic. I mean, everybody, as you've seen in your own world, you know, you call and you're thinking like, you get an appointment next week and it's 3 months or whatever. So I feel great sympathy and empathy for the medical community, as I do for all the patients trying to get care. But there's nothing wrong in asking what are other options or what are other solutions. And if they say they don't have any, trust your instincts, trust your intuition, trust your gut. And by the way, I do like the guy who gave me my colonoscopy. I loved him. I thought he was a great doctor. Did I like what he did? No. But that wasn't his fault, right?
That is the procedure, yes.
He did it to the best of his ability with the least amount of whatever. So yes, you can absolutely find the right person for the right problem.
Good.
Yeah,
I think that from coast to coast is a bit far, but if I may be desperate, I'll ask you for a name. Yeah.
Well, I just want to throw that idea out that if there is this personality conflict from the get-go, you walk in and you're just kind of, your feathers are ruffled, trust that. Walk out, you know, yes, it's unfortunate. Yeah, you probably waited 2 months to see this person, but you know, your body knows. We've talked about that in The Body Keeps the Score. That's Bessel van der Kolk's work. You know, we've talked about that. We have to know and understand when our feathers are ruffled by someone, it's trying to tell us something, and to be able to say, I think I'll look for other solutions. And if you don't leave on bad terms, like slamming the door and saying something awful, you just... thank you very much, and walk out the door and seek other solutions. That way, if there are no other solutions, you just say, hey, you know, I've been thinking of calling back. Hey, I've been thinking about it. So you don't have to become a drama person about it. We all get dramatic, you know, faint on the floor or whatever. But it is not easy finding medical professionals nowadays. And I know being a medical professional isn't easy either. So I like your idea of practicing peace with that, just maybe spreading peace. We'll just like sprinkle peace everywhere. How's that?
I love that idea. And I think that's what the world needs now is a little calmness, a little peace. And if they don't need it, I need it. So I'm gonna go around trying to give it to myself. But I love what you said about, I think what we're really saying is, wow, the wisdom of our bodies and the wisdom of our minds are just incomprehensible. We have been through so much that only we know, you know? Use them. And it's so funny because I tell my clients, they go, oh, I don't know if I could be an executive coach. And it's like, bring what you have to the table. Nobody has your experiences. And I guess that's what we're saying too. It's like, whatever you've had, whatever experience, bring it to the table. Nobody else has it. And use it, you know, don't just say, oh, I had that experience. Use it. It's like, this is going to get me further because I already know this. And that's a great motto for 2023. Bring what you got and use it.
I like that. We're coming up with some great models when we do have this transcribed. These mottos are going to be, I think we'll write a post about these mottos. You know,
you'd be able to write a book. I know you got a few on infused.
Oh, that's part of my intentional list here is I've got like four manuscripts in different phases of being completed on my desktop. And that was going to be my pandemic work. And we see how that worked out. But one of the things I wanted to talk about, though, as you were talking about use it and all of those sorts of things, is oftentimes, as you mentioned, with people saying, well, who am I to coach? I don't know how it happens, honestly, but I'll be working with someone. It's so much easier to seeing as a coach, as a friend, whatever. I can be passionately dispassionate about what's happening. I know that sounds weird because I'm really passionately involved with my clients, but I am outside the emotion, the trauma, the turmoil that's happening inside. So what is interesting to me is I'm watching someone give a speech and I can notice the different inflections in their voice and things like that and how it hits me as the audience. And then what I coach them is like using different inflections of their voice or different body language. And they'll go, oh, that feels so much better. And it's interesting to me how you can see someone, your friends, your family, depending on the safety, you know, and permission people have in your world. Sometimes those people are the best people because they're passionately dispassionate. They're not involved in the immediate emotion of it to give you insight on what's really happening and guidance on what's really happening. And my favorite story is, I used to say this all the time. Now, whenever it comes out of my mouth, I just have to like metaphorically whack myself upside the head. I used to say to friends, when especially about boyfriends, as they were commenting about particular choices, I would say, but you just don't understand. You know what? In hindsight, every one of my friends who told me something, and I remember the moment I said, but you just don't understand. And you know what? They understood better than I could possibly have understood in those moments. They were seeing my little mental traps, my little mind games, my little boundary being pushed here and there. And so when someone is your friend and really able to be passionately dispassionate with you, I think that's such a gift. And I see that about you and I, Lori, is that ability to see what's really going on from the outside. And maybe I just don't understand, and maybe that's true. But in my experience, in my hindsight, whenever that comes out of my mouth, my friend who's telling me something that they're seeing is spot on.
I like that. And to take it further, a great idea and totally true. And what also I used to say, if people will come to me, I know you don't have children, so, but I have a parent problem. And I go, you know what? That might be the viewpoint that you need, because you can talk to other parents and then you're going to get the same. And oh, it's no time. And then the kids are out and ruling. And, but you might need another viewpoint. So you don't have to go to someone who has the same experience as you. In fact, I recommend that you don't go to someone who, as you say, is dispassionate, but yet cares about you or cares about what they're doing. And get that viewpoint and then gather them all together. You don't have to say, oh, okay, that's the viewpoint. put them all together and go, what, I'm going to take this out of here and this out of here and get your own viewpoint going. That's even better. But great point, Sharon. Yeah. It's dispassionate passion. I like that.
The idea for me, I love that. And it brought to mind someone, dear friend of mine, a mentor, said, you know, Sharon, one of the interesting things about you is you're able to hold multiple viewpoints in your head at the same time. To me, I try to encourage people to hold multiple viewpoints in their head at the same time. It doesn't mean there's a conflict in there. It just means I'm working through, okay, I've checked in with people, I've checked in with, you know, I've read books or listened or whatever I've done to get enough information about the topic. And in this case, usually it's around wellness and well-being and maybe some doctors recommending something, is holding multiple viewpoints in your head at the same time, and you're okay with that. I want to encourage people to work on that skill, because to me, that's where you can come to terms like, okay, I want that part of that viewpoint, and I want that part of that viewpoint, and I agree with that viewpoint. And how do I make my own stew, delicious stew, with all of that?
And it's all subject to change. I can change it whenever I
want. Absolutely.
And that we forget too. It's like, oh, this is not infinitive and definitive. It's like, this is flexible. We can do this. And another thing that is good, I think, and I think which is our bond too, it's like big picture. Try to see the big picture. It's not all about you, you know. I'm not a Dr. Phil fan, but I do like when he says, you'd be surprised at what people think about you when you realize they hardly ever do. It's all from your perspective. And it's like, get the big picture. Where do you fit in the big picture? You know where you are in your little picture because you're frustrated and you're angry and someone's insulted you. Get the big picture. See if you can do that and hold a bunch of viewpoints in your head, and you're going to have smoother sailing, guaranteed. Guaranteed.
And unfortunately, when Lori and I get together, we could go on and on. We're down to the last 2 minutes, my dear. Any final thoughts, and how can people get a hold of you?
Oh, but how you can get a hold of me? Well, you can find me on LinkedIn, of course, and you can find me under Empowered Life Journeys or eljmyc.com. And I'm not hiding. I'm out there. So Google me, you'll find me.
Okay. And any final thoughts in our last 2 minutes?
No, I think it's always amazing how when you talk to a kindred spirit, how whatever little nugget you were nurturing in your mind is like, wow, okay, now I got it. You know, so that's why I love talking to you, because it's like, okay, I've got this little thing that now I'm so sure about my health plan for this year. It's like, yeah, let's go. Let's go.
Oh, I'm right behind you.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
And you so, don't need binoculars to see me, darling.
No, I don't. So I would just say, we have so many words for the year. Peace, courage, intentions. Pick your own word. Pick your word for how you want your year to be, and just bring it up every time you've got that little feeling, oh, something's not right. Put it in there, and that'll probably get you back on path.
Yeah, if not, pick another word from our list.
We have a long list.
You can always have a compound sentence. That's okay. Well, Lori, thank you so much for starting out 2023 with laughter and fun. We always have a great time together. I just love how your brain works. So thank you for sharing your time with us. Everyone, that's Lori Lawson. We'll have her information over at understandingautoimmune.com, where you can also share this podcast from there as well. Everyone, have a great week, whatever your adventures. Enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes.